business here to talk about the infrastructure bond measure, which is going to be on the ballot.
Right. If it's all right, I will sit down and try to project. I can't stand up for very long. So we're going backwards. We're going DCB. This is Proposition B, which is the Safe Streets bond. It's a $248 million general obligation bond that will repave the streets, repair bridges, overpasses, and stairs, improve safety for pedestrians, bicyclists, and my particular interest is people with disabilities and seniors, and create more than 1,000 jobs. Now, most people who hear about the repaving bond are concerned about two things. One is it going to increase taxes? And the other is, why isn't this being paid out of our general fund? Why isn't this a maintenance issue? The street repairs, like filling potholes or looking at patches and striping, is all done out of our general fund. The street repaving is a capital project that is an appropriate use of our bond dollars. It is not putting money on our credit card. It is the same thing as having a mortgage for your home. It's an investment. In our situation, we're in desperate need for this investment because I don't know if you've seen these charts, but as you wait to repair streets, the cost of the repair gets more and more expensive. So if you can maintain streets where you're just taking off the top level of the asphalt and putting down a new layer, it costs one-fifth the amount as if you have to repair the cement underbed of the streets. So while, yes, it is something that costs more because we finance it, it doesn't cost us five times more, which is what it will cost us if we wait. So the tax issue. The Capital Planning Committee has a 10-year capital plan and has as one of its policy commitments to keep taxes, property taxes, at the 2006 bond level. As old bonds retire, they prioritize what the city should be investing in next. And this Prop B is the top priority for this coming year. Using capital dollars for street repaving is a very standard practice. It is something that most major U.S. cities do, including New York, Chicago, Denver, Houston, Seattle, Minneapolis. And it is in our situation right now, unfortunately, a really important investment. The piece that I am particularly excited about, because I work with people with disabilities and seniors a lot, are that we will also be getting a number of curb ramps out of this. We have 5,000 corners in the city that have no curb ramps at all, many of them in District 7. And we have more than 5,000 curb ramps that are old. They were built so long ago that over time they have actually become a barrier to people who need curb ramps instead of an access feature. The other thing that I'm excited about is the increase in funding that it will provide for sidewalk repairs. Most of you know that we have some sidewalk programs, but it has been significantly underfunded. So we have a lot of tripping hazards. And for people who use wheelchairs or walkers, these hazards are often make the sidewalks impassable. And finally, I'm excited about a small amount of funding that it provides for additional accessible pedestrian signals. I work with the Mayor's Office on Disability, and we have done a study for people who are blind and low vision. And the most important feature that they said the city could provide for any city service was accessible pedestrian signals, which, does anyone know what they are? Have you heard of them? Yeah, they have a locator beep and a button so that when someone presses it, it will say whether it's safe to cross the street and what street you're crossing. So it both tells you if it's safe to play in traffic, as they say, and if you are at the intersection that you think you're at or hoping to be at. So for all of those reasons, I am a big fan of Prop B. I would love to get your endorsement, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Good job.
Two questions. In the world of private property management, as you know, any building owner is in that world, whether he wants to get up, you always calculate your accounting for what they call a replacement reserve. Mm-hmm. So when the new roof needs to be put on, or the painting has to be done, you have the money aside. Mm-hmm. You don't go out to the bank, and if you're prudent, you don't go out to the bank looking for a loan to put on a new roof. Mm-hmm. That's extremely imprudent. And the city seems to not have anything to do with replacement reserves as a matter of how the city runs itself. And well, then, but then yeah. As the separate point, sidewalks. As a property owner, I'm responsible for my sidewalks. So what are you talking about with cities paying for sidewalk repairs? That's the property owner's responsibility. How does that factor into how the city's going to do that?
So let me answer the first question, sure. The questions in order. Replacement reserves. One of the things that I've been listening to these discussions about pension reform, it's all very interesting. And one of the things that doesn't enter into the discussion is what's happening at the federal and state level. And we used to get significant amounts of money from the federal and state government. As that money went down, the city has been slow to come up with alternate resources. So we had those sources of funding for paving and this work. It has dried up. That's why we're moving on to the geo bond approach. The property owner for sidewalk repair, you're absolutely right. Most of the sidewalks, 89.3% of the sidewalks in the city are privately owned. But we have a good section of the city that is either federal, state, or locally owned, and federal and state government kicks that cost to San Francisco. But also the process of doing the inspection and repair, we don't actually pass all of that cost on to the property owner. So when we get a complaint, we have inspectors who go out, investigate the complaint, identify whether it actually is something that needs to be repaired, notify the property owner, ask you to repair it. About 70% of property owners do respond to that, but another 30% don't. There needs to be a second notice. Of the 30%, more than 10% don't even respond to that.
And
they get a lien on their property. But the cost of those inspections, notices, the administrative work is not something that is captured in the property owner repair for the sidewalk. And we've discussed increasing those fees, but it's not a popular fee increase. Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
I don't know anything about this, and I was in the bathroom, so maybe you covered it. But I noticed that, looking over Charles's shoulder, that the San Francisco, this piece of paper, that San Francisco neighbor, he's holding it.
Oh.
The San Francisco neighborhood opposes this initiative, neighborhood association, whatever it's called. So can you address what you consider to be the most salient arguments against it?
I haven't heard that the San Francisco neighborhood's arguments why they oppose it. We've gotten endorsements from most. This is supported by Mayor Ed Lee, most of the supervisors, the San Francisco Democratic Party, the Alice B. Toklas Democratic Club, Senior Action Network, SPUR, San Francisco Planning and Urban Research Association, the Alliance for Jobs and Sustainable Growth, Community Alliance of Disability Advocates. I mean, it's gotten a lot of endorsements. Usually the concerns are what were raised of, well, why isn't this something that we're keeping a reserve for in the general fund? Why is this being financed instead of just paid for? And it is a standard practice to finance this. It is a capital investment that last 20 to 30 years, which when you repave the streets. Sure. Yes.
I understand that actually this is the first time something this is on the top ballot. And to me, it shows incredible ineptitude on the part of the Department of Public Works that they need to come to us with this kind of money. I was wondering what the total sum of the bond is and what percentage is going to go to these type of things, like you say, telling people what street they're going to cross. You know, I don't understand why that's really necessary. That's certainly not an emergency appropriation, in my view. I mean, when we don't have money for a recreation director up the street, you know, why is it that we have the kind of luxuries like ball valves and things like that?
So $148.4 million is to repave and reconstruct streets. $22 million would go to improve sidewalks and curb ramp accessibility. $7.3 million goes for seismic strengthening of bridges, tunnels, viaducts, guardrails, and stairs. $50 million goes to streetscapes. The bulb outs.
What's a streetscape?
Yeah.
So what is a streetscape?
Streetscape, yes. That's a category that includes what you were talking about.
Is that like a parkland?
No, no. The streetscape category includes landscaping, alleyway repair, signals, the accessible pedestrian signals, lighting. And then $20.3 million goes to upgrade transit street signals. That coordinates traffic lights with bus routes so that as a bus approaches a traffic light, if it doesn't have a stop there, the traffic light will turn green and increase the efficiency of the public transit.
Franks?
Rather than you try to respond to concerns and questions from the Coalition of San Francisco Neighborhoods, without knowing what they are, maybe she could just have 2 minutes to respond after we hear the presentation.
Sure.
From this event, would that be possible?
Sure. Delegate from SHARP to CSFM. I've been involved in working all summer long on various ballot measures, some of which remain on the ballot, some of which were taken off the ballot after we had heard from various agencies about it. Our General Assembly did hear from both HRW and DPW and the Mayor back in our June General Assembly meeting. I'd just like to read sections of the cover article on our magazine. This is written by George Wooding, who's a member of our Government Elections Committee, of which I am the chair. After talking about, everyone knows the streets are in bad shape. San Francisco city government has failed miserably in the last 20 years to meet even the minimum standards for road repair. 1989, San Francisco had a pavement condition index PCI of 78. PCI was not a good rating. Had one of the highest ratings in the country. Our current PCI rating is 64, which gives the city a D rating for road repair. If everything goes as planned, the San Francisco voters approve this bond. City officials estimate we'll reach a new PCI rating of 66, according to Douglas Legg, budget and finance manager of the DPW. If things don't go as planned, Legg warns without increased funding for street repairs, PCI rating will drop to 61 by 2014, only 3 years. What happened to the money that would have helped maintain this PCI rating in the 70s? The low rating is no accident. The city worked hard to earn its current 64 PCI rating by deliberately deferring road maintenance in good times and bad both. Just about 80% of the money that should have been spent on road repairs for the last 20 years, but wasn't, was deliberately redirected to city employment salaries. George then goes into how in 2003 we had just under 3,000 employees earning $90,000. Now it's up to just under 9,000 such employees with compensation going from $314 million to $1.47 billion. And again, the mayor, beginning with Willie Brown and then Mayor Newsom, and compliant supervisors have gone along with this. Now, after years of deferred maintenance, the city comes crawling back to the voters with a $240 million road repaving and safety bond on the November ballot. This is what the road repair bond claims they will give us. We need to repay for our infrastructure repair, and he repeats the same things you just went over. The actual real cost of the bond will be $440,749,000, adding $189 million in interest payments over the next 24 years, plus $3.5 million in bond issue charges. Just $155 million of the $440 million, only 35%, will actually be used for street repaving, reconstruction, and seismic improvements. If the city had just used the money that we gave the general fund for the intended road repairs, voters would have saved at least $189 million in interest payments. In 2009, when the proposed $368 million road repair general obligation bond was being considered, Supervisor Sean Ellsburn wrote in his newsletter, "I oppose this bond because I believe that our city has the financial means, but not the political will, to prioritize the maintenance and improvements of our streets." The hidden agenda, George writes about, a large chunk of the road repair bond is going actually to be used to fix up Fisherman's Wharf so it will look nice for the America's Cup yacht races. Let rich men play with their expensive toys, but not at the expense of the city's taxpayers. If you say you're going to fix the road infrastructure, please make sure that you repair the entire city. At a time when the city is cutting funding for health care, education, emergency service, this road repair bond would spend tens of millions of taxpayer dollars on remodeling project in one tiny city area, Jefferson Street on the Wharf, in anticipation of the America's Cup race. The bond would direct more money to the Jefferson Street project than to sidewalk, bridge, and overpass improvements combined citywide. Let's see. 2 years ago, on April 28th, the Board of Supervisors approved the continuance of $42 million in certificates of participation, COPs, to finance the same categories of street improvement projects included in the November GOB. A year and a half later, on October 2010, the Board of Supervisors approved the issuance of an additional $48 million COP issuance, with the main differences being that the specific streets and locations being the specific streets and locations of those. Between these two COPs, we're already borrowing $90 million plus interest for the same type of work proposed for the number GOB. He quotes, Harvey Rose, Board of Supervisors budget and legislative analyst, considering the saying the proposed $148 million in GOB for road repaving and reconstruction projects to be routine and ongoing when considering the entirety of the city street system, he found such projects would be most appropriately financed on a pay-as-you-go basis without the issuance of the proposed general obligation bond, which, of course, will result in long-term debt to the city. Translation, the road repair bond should never have been placed on the ballot as a capital improvement. George sums up by saying, the government's done a terrible job maintaining the road infrastructure over the last 20 years. The real question is, should the voters now reward city government for doing such a bad job? As Supervisor Helmsburn stated, and he previously quoted him, the city has the financial means, but not the political will, to prioritize the maintenance of the streets. If people vote, people are being asked to vote on the school bond and on the road repair bond. And George concludes by saying, if the road repair bond prejudices the school bond, that's putting the cart before the horse. What we really need is the school bond, not the road repair bond. And that's the way George concludes it, the CSFN argument.
He's saying a lot there. He misses the fact that what happened to the money? There wasn't any money that was designated for road repair that hasn't gone to road repair. There's a small amount of the Prop K tax that does go to road repair. It's not enough for what our need is. Money that disappeared is the federal and state money. I mean, the federal and state governments have been in trouble, and they have been essentially taking back money from local governments for the past 8 years. So we are in trouble because that money has dried up, and we are trying to figure out a way to fund it. Ellsburn is not opposed to this bond this year. He is not speaking out against it. I think he recognizes that if we do not fund the repair now, we will be paying five times as much later. It's, you know, fine to play the blame game and say, well, the city did things wrong. Most of the people who work in the city weren't in those decision-making positions then when those decisions were made and are trying to fix something now. And the structural issue of how we fund this is, again, a decision for the voters. I mean, most of our general fund budget is not open for debate. We have set-asides for the library. We have set-asides for children, youth, and family. We have requirements for police and fire. The amount of money that we have available for street repaving is minimal. So we either make this investment or we don't. And if we make the investment, we will admittedly not have beautiful streets next year. We won't have beautiful streets in 5 years. But we will keep from going further down on the pavement condition index and keep from getting ourselves in even worse shape than we are now.
Okay. John, can you answer the part about...
Wait, sir. John, then you.
Okay. I'm going to be a one-trick pony. Can you go back to the replacement reserve topic? You're pitching the sensibility of going for this project. At the same time, has the city decided to do anything to now build in a replacement reserve mm-hmm. for the expenses which will be needed 5 years or 10 years or whatever?
Yeah. So there was a large committee of people who were convened to look at different options for funding from an ongoing source of money. And they have proposed, they have about eight different options that they have put on paper and said, you know, look at these. Only one of them looks viable as something that voters would pass. And that, unfortunately, does not take care of more than 15% of the need. So it is a genuine problem. I'm not going to pretend that it's not.
Nothing has been adopted to terminate these perpetual needs for bonds for things like roads.
Well, there will be additional things that will be put in front of the voters in the next 3 years. And we will see what passes. If we get enough of those, I think we needed four or five of those eight combined to actually meet the total need and start having our pavement condition index increase instead of stay the same or go down, then that will be the source. But almost all of them have to go before the voters.
So there'll be more bonds into an
interim. No, it's not a bond. It's so for example, a local vehicle license fee. You know, ask the people who are using the streets to be paying for the cost of repairing them. Right. All of those eight options are alternatives to general obligation bonds. Yeah. There are revenue streams that would be new revenue streams.
Okay, sir.
Sorry for interrupting, but you didn't address the part about Fisherman's Wharf.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
And I was wondering also what percentage of the cost, it sounds like to me like only about 20% of the cost are directly for road repair.
So $148.4 million out of $248 million, so two-thirds.
Two-thirds.
Yeah.
Okay, and Fisherman's Wharf.
And Fisherman's Wharf, I'm glad you, thank you. There is no commitment, the Fisherman's Wharf was something that was polled when they were looking at what kinds of issues people would support funding, and so it was on the list of items that was polled. There is no commitment to do Fisherman's Wharf. I'm personally quite opposed to having, it would be under the streetscape portion of the funding, having that go to Fisherman's Wharf. It is, I think, a very unlikely scenario that any of this money would go to Fisherman's Wharf because the polling came back negative about it. So the information that people heard was this is not a priority for the public.
Yeah, John Carroll wrote a column in the Chronicle last week about that, too.
I was out of the state last week, so I missed that.
Sir?
My experience is that the well-to-do areas get street repair whether they need it or not. They keep tearing up some frequently good pavement. I know this is maybe a side issue, but that America's Cup business, we're being steamrolled by that, and I am so mistrustful. I fear that a lot of this is going to for that purpose.
So I'm glad that you're raising accountability issues, because it's one of the things, and I can tell you, I've been with city government for 10, 11 years now. I've only in the last 3 years been sitting on the Capital Planning Committee on any regular basis. And it was one of the things that Sean Ellsburn did that was just wonderful, was to make sure that the city was consciously deciding how we spend our capital dollars and how we show the public the accountability for how we spend the capital dollars. So included in this bond is a requirement for the for a general obligation bond oversight committee. There's like 0.1 or 0.02% of the financing goes to the oversight committee. There's a website that will be posted with, here are the projects that we plan to do with the bond, and give you updates. Here's how far we've gone, where we're doing it. There's a commitment that the street repaving is done throughout the city. So every district in the city is going to get approximately an equal amount of street repaving. The project schedules, scopes, and budgets for each of the districts will be included on the website. So I recognize that, especially with Laguna Honda and the increased cost there, there's a lot of distrust around where the city has general obligation bonds, in part precisely because of that fiasco. This capital planning committee has been set up, and the oversight and planning that has gone into the bonds has been much more thorough.
Okay, we have time for one more question.
On the accountability question. In our neighborhood, when they do curb cuts, then they come back and they measure it, take everything out again, and do it again.
Did that happen in 2004?
Happened in 2004. I think it happened the last time too. I don't know, but then it has a shaky top head and said, what's going on?
What the heck's going on? So there are two things. One is, and this was a little bit before I was doing curb ramp work, but I know that between 2003-2004, there was a code change in what was required in how you build curb ramps. And DPW had put in some curb ramps, and they came back and said, okay, we got to put in the new ones the way the code has done it. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that happened in the past that was just a problem. What may also happen is that part of the reason this creates jobs is that we contract out a lot of this work. The city has very strict requirements for how the curb ramps are built. If a contractor hasn't done it right, it's on their dime, and they'll have to pull it out and redo it again. So we've had a number of instances. I could check and see if they were, if you want to give me the intersections, I can get back to you on that. But yeah, we've had we're getting better with the contractors and them understanding the expectations, but we've had several incidents in which we've had to make them go back.
All along Fulton Street next to Golden Gate Park.
Okay, Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you.